Dennis McDermott with the Washington State Department of Health, and he will be speaking on measuring retail density across spatial scales.
So first, the standard disclaimers. I'm speaking on my own behalf. What I say does not necessarily reflect the views of the Washington State Department of Health. And also, the usual financial disclosure, I'm a state funky on a state salary. No conflict of interest there. I also have a further disclaimer, which we don't usually get. This is a work in progress. We're exploring some methods to try to get a handle on some perennial sticky spatial problems that often come up. And there, I'll be explicit about halfway through, about there is still one big caveat related to one of our data sources. So we welcome feedback on our approach, feedback on our methods. Please don't quote us. Please don't disseminate the results, because this is still a work in progress. So the perennial problem that keeps coming up that we often get requested is we've got this feature of the built environment, which is, for program reasons, might be considered important for health. And the request comes down, can you put this on a map for us? Well, yes, obviously I can. It's easy to put things on maps. But can I put it on a map in a meaningful way that actually conveys useful information to the programs that are requesting this? And that's not always quite so clear how to do that. In this case, we're looking at tobacco, tobacco retail, although I'm really want to sort of broaden the scope. I'm using tobacco here as an example of this more general problem. How do you find a meaningful spatial indicator for environmental features, particularly built environment features, that means the same thing across a statewide scale? We always run into this problem of scale. The first simplest approach is what's called the container-based approach, a simple per capita density. In this case, what we're seeing on this map is the number of tobacco retailers per 1,000 population. And you get a pretty picture, and you see some spatial patterns, especially if you let your human pattern recognition take over. We're very good at detecting patterns that aren't there. And you can draw associations with other features which we can also measure by census tract. In this case, poverty. There's a very strong association between per capita retail density of tobacco and percent below poverty by census tract. So high poverty census tracts have high per capita retail density. And if I say this very quickly, then I might snowball you into thinking, oh dear, we got this disparity problem. The tobacco retailers are targeting low-income people. Well, maybe not. There's a lot of questions you need to ask about this approach. First of all, the container-based, using arbitrary boundaries such as census tracts or counties, or worst of all, zip codes, you run into modifiable area unit problems. You run into the problem of heteroscedasticity, I love that word, where the more sparsely populated units will have a higher variation. And so the more these big, bright red areas up there in the north, well, those are largely wilderness. Not a whole lot of population there. Got low denominators. Doesn't take very many census retailers to make this show up as a high density. Even more dangerous is this sort of association. Looking at associations on a spatial variable, what other hidden associations might there be? Okay. Is tobacco particularly related with poverty? Is poverty particularly related to tobacco? Or is it simply that tobacco retailers are located in commercial districts, which happen to be the low-rent districts for completely unrelated reasons? So always there is this question of what hidden associations might be confounding this result. So what are some ways to address, at least in part, some of these issues? Well, as far as the modifiable area unit problem and the heterogeneity problem, the problem of the artificial boundaries, one method that's been put forward and was suggested to us is constructing what's called the population-weighted distance. It was originally designed to measure access to parks. It's sometimes called a gravity-based model. The essence of it, at an individual level, an individual person will choose from among the options presented to them, and their attraction to any given park in its original form is directly related to the attractiveness of that park, and the authors use size of the park as a proxy for attractiveness, hence the symbol S, to some power alpha, some empirically determined power alpha, and inversely related to the distance to some empirically determined power beta. So you have individual attraction to the parks that they see in the landscape. From that, you can compute the probability that any given person, that an individual, will choose a particular park. And from that, you can get expected distance that a person will travel to get to their park of choice. So far, it's all individual level. There's no boundaries, no boundary effects, no edge effects, no modifiable unit problems here. You can then summarize this distance traveled at the block level, the track level, the county level, whatever level you want. Okay, so we said, all right, let's try this. Let's see if we can adapt this to our tobacco retail. Anytime you've got an indicator that was designed in one context and you try to move it over to another, you need to ask yourself some questions. Does the original model actually apply? Well, for tobacco, yeah, it's questionable. The population-weighted distance was conceived based on active choice. Is that what's happening with tobacco retail? No, we don't know. What about this size as our... the size of the park being a measure of the attractiveness of the park? Do we have anything analogous to that for tobacco? What would make someone choose one retailer over another? Probably price. We don't have the data. Okay, we don't have empirical data for the parameters, alpha and beta. Okay, well, we'll bull through anyway and see what happens. We set the attractiveness, all parks for all retailers equally attractive. We set the exponent beta equal 2 because, well, it works for the inverse square law of propagation of light, so it probably should work for tobacco. We put on the map with great anticipation, and we got, obviously. Well, here's Seattle. Here's Vancouver. There's Yakima. There's Spokane. We've got a proxy for population density. And in retrospect, what did we expect? If we look at the metric, it has units of distance, expected distance you would travel. So what we got is the astounding revelation that in dense urban areas, distances are short. In vast, open, empty rangeland, distances are far. Okay. So we realized we need to find some dimensionless. This is a problem that comes up all the time. We get some measure that works nicely in a local scale. Try to map it statewide, and we run into this problem of the scale is too vastly different. So obviously we needed something dimensionless, some relative measure that doesn't have carry those units of distance or population. So to create a dimensionless measure, you would divide by some other measure. You divide by denominator that carries that same dimensions. So if our numerator, population by distance, is, has units of distance, divide by some other distance measure, and the units will divide out, and you've got a dimensionless relative measure. And if you're clever, you might be able to find a meaningful denominator that will control for that what you suspect might be a confounding factor. So we're wondering, does the association we saw with poverty relate to tobacco in particular, or is it just an association with retail in general? So if we look at relative distance to tobacco, your population weighted distance to tobacco relative to all retail, then you're in a sense controlling for at least that particular hidden association. There still might be others, but we got that one accounted for. And now the big caveat. We have our nice address database for tobacco retailers. They got to pay taxes. They got to be registered with the state. We would have to buy from Dun & Bradstreet or some of the someone else a database for all retail. We have a data sharing agreement with our Employment Security Department, who has addresses at least of all employers. But, you know, one big government bureaucracy trying to get data out of another big government bureaucracy. We don't have that data yet. So what I used was land use area, retail trade land use, based on tax parcels. So there's a big caveat that in everything that follows, the numerator and denominator in this relative measure, it's not quite apples and oranges, but it might be apples and quince. You know, they're not really quite the same thing. But again, we'll bowl through as if nothing happened. Assuming this big caveat, you know, when we get the right data, it looks the same way, this relative measure does seem to have some nice statistical features. It is dimensionless by design. And when we look at the correlation with population density, street network density, urban versus rural, it's uncorrelated with any of those. So it looks like it is not merely yet another proxy for population density. The distribution was not exactly normal, but it wasn't too far away from normal, if you look at the distribution of relative density by census tract. Put it on the map, and okay, well, it's not tracking population density. We got that for us. But it doesn't tell us any useful information at all. That we're going to need to explore a little bit farther and see. So let's look at this relationship with poverty as our example. There is a statistically detectable association between relative population-weighted distance to tobacco retail and poverty. To test statistical significance, we use a spatial lag regression to control for spatial autocorrelation. So we do have a statistically detectable relationship, but if you look at the effect size, these are the census tract quartiles, poverty quartiles, and then the population-weighted distance average. It's a very small and probably meaningless effect size. If we explore things a little further, comparing urban tracts versus rural tracts, we see a little bit interesting pattern happening. The urban tract, we have no association, just flat. But in the rural, one thing to bear in mind, remember this is, we're measuring relative distance. So a small metric, a small relative distance, means greater accessibility. You're closer to tobacco. So this is actually going the opposite direction from the conventional wisdom. High poverty census tracts are farther away from tobacco retail relative to other sources, other retail. Low poverty tobacco tracts are the ones that are relatively closer to tobacco in rural Washington. So that's curious. Push a little bit further, let's look separately at the numerator and the denominator in our relative measure. So first in the urban areas, okay, this is what we were suspecting from the start. That strong relationship between poverty and tobacco retail, and again, remember the flip-flop relationship, high poverty, shorter distance, closer to tobacco, is canceled out by, if you look at all retail, high poverty tracts are closer to retail in general. And so in the relative measure, those two just sort of divide out and you get a flat, no relationship, no association. If we do this in the rural, nonlinear. We don't like nonlinear. We want a nice, simple indicator that has a nice, simple interpretation that we can inform our program with, and a nonlinear relationship pretty much invalidates it from that point of view. So we've got some complex nonlinear stuff going on in rural areas that in the ratio does this some weird thing that we can't explain. Okay, so the utility of this relative indicator is starting to dwindle a little bit. The last thing to look at, okay, so far we're looking only at global patterns. So an association across the whole state or an association across all rural census tracts. So the spatially weighted, the spatial lag regression that we use to test for significance is designed to control for autocorrelation and look for global patterns. You can do that in GeoDot, by the way. ArcGIS has a form of regression, geographically weighted regression, and what this does is it exploits spatial correlation to provide a local regression. So each census tract is given its own regression equation. Each census tract has its own R-squared value. Each census tract has its own coefficient. And what we see is whatever associations there might be between poverty and retail density, it's not global. It's not uniform. The same thing is not happening across the state. What we're looking at here is the sign of the coefficient. There's lots of ways you can try to visualize the results of this kind of regression. The simplest, just look at the sign of the coefficient in those places where R squared is enough to be worth looking at. So the red is where you sort of have the conventional wisdom, high poverty is associated with close to tobacco. The blue is where you have the inverse relationship where high poverty is farther away from tobacco. And within rural areas, well, Lincoln County, Grant County, completely flip-flop association. Within urban areas even. King County, the Puget Sound, Seattle, Tacoma area, conventional wisdom applies. But over here in Spokane, flip-flop. So, conclusions. I got 2 minutes to say them, and then I'm sorry, questions. In this quest for a built environment indicator that is universally applicable across spatial scales, whatever indicator you choose, you got to do a lot of work to see, does it really tell you something across spatial scales? And in the case of tobacco, I think there is no such indicator. We've got associations vary across space, positive associations one place, negative associations another. So I think, at least with tobacco, there is no simple indicator that scales nicely with other built environment indicators. I think you need to do a lot of work to, don't just take your indicator and run with it. Check it out. Make sure it's doing what you think it's doing. Okay, so I managed to get through it all, but I'm sorry, there's no time for questions.